Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, I always tell my students, follow your bliss.
Welcome to Bliss, the podcast. I'm your host, Patch Drury, and we're so excited that you're here with us today. Today, we've got an incredible topic. We're going to be talking about how to change the world by changing the narrative. I think we're all, whether we know it or not, we're aware of the narrative that we live in. There's a political and cultural narrative that kind of says, here's the way the world's going, and here's the way it's supposed to go, and here's the way to make it work. And I would like to suggest that if we change the narrative, we change the way we think about the story we live in, we could improve the world for the better. And so we're going to talk about that. Before we do, though, I'd like to point out that you've probably noticed, but going into the summer months, we're moving to an every other week format. For me, summer is really busy. I know for a lot of people, summer is a time to slow down and relax a little bit, but it's never been that way for me. Any job I've ever had, summer has always been the busy time. That seems to be the case now with some new things starting. And my wife and I have a five-year-old who's out of school, so he's on summer vacation, so we have to arrange our schedules around him. So it just seems like I have less and less time in the summer. Also want to let you know, go to patchdrury.net and you can sign up for my newsletter that goes out every week. And this newsletter, it's kind of a, I call it a guerrilla newsletter because it's not like any newsletter you've ever seen. And the people who are subscribing to it are confirming that. They're saying, this is incredible. This is like anything we've ever seen. It's inspiring. It's entertaining. It's actually a newsletter we look forward to reading. How many newsletters can say that? So I'd love it if you check it out. Go to patchdrury.net and you should see several links at the top of the page and at the bottom of the page that give you an opportunity to sign up for it. And I would love it if you do that. And that's just a way we can be in contact every week. If this podcast goes to every other week for the summer, you'll still have me in your inbox every week, lovingly sharing my guts, sharing my insides in as creative and as meaningful a way as possible. And I want to do that. I want you to have more of me in your life because I think it can only help you. So anyway, let's get on with the episode. Like I said, this week we're talking about change the narrative, change the world. And of course, as you know, Bliss the podcast is about the works of Joseph Campbell and the monomyth and Jungian psychology and all those things. And so obviously that's the path we're taking here. But I'm going to explain some thoughts I've had this week, some things that have occurred to me, some new voices that I'm hearing from that are really meaningful to this conversation, I think, and meaningful to changing the narrative. So without any further ado, this is Bliss the Podcast, and I'm your host, Patch Drury. All right, let's get started with the podcast properly. My name is Patch Drury. I'm your host. And today we're talking about how to change the narrative and ultimately, as a result, change the world. So what do I mean by that? What is the narrative that we live in? Well, I think there's a pretty strong narrative as Americans that's influenced by politics. And politics and the political narrative say that you are one of two things. You are a Republican or a Democrat. You are a conservative or a liberal. And you have to decide which of those you are, and you have to commit yourself to your side. And your side is right, and your side has the answers for how to fix everything. And the idea is that liberals are really intelligent, but a little too bleeding heart, that they care too much about the wrong things, and that they want to change everything. They want to shake up systems. And all of that is true to a degree, I think. And the narrative about Republicans, conservatives, is that they are staunch, steadfast, and they believe in the past, and they don't want anything to change, and that their systems are in place for a reason, and they need to stay in place and not be touched or affected. And I think those things are true to a degree. there are also some really hurtful, damaging narratives that pop up that are also unfortunately a little true. Liberals and progressives and Democrats are very concerned with identity politics, and identity politics are important, but pursued too heavily, I think, can be damaging. Conservatives are sometimes portrayed and painted as the opposite of that, that they are prone to racism and nationalism and jingoism. And I think those are potentially true. I don't think they're obviously true or ultimately true or have to be true, or that those things are inherent in conservatism. I think they're just conservatism taken to the most damaging far end, and identity politics at its worst is liberalism taken to its far end. And so let's just talk about that a little bit. I think liberalism and conservatism are both really necessary. I think that they are two sides to the same coin. And so we need both sides operating at their best, and we need both sides contributing. And so that means we need conservatives upholding systems and being a part of systems and making sure everything kind of runs correctly and that the trains run on time and that that things are put together well. And so they are the system. They are culture in a lot of ways. But then we also need liberals stepping in and challenging that. We need liberals coming in and progressives coming in and say, what could be better about this? What's ultimately behind this? Can we adjust it? Can we tweak it in a meaningful way? Can we open its eyes a little bit? Can we add some compassion to it so that it's not just a truth-driven system, but it's also a truth-driven system with little moments of grace interspersed within it? And so I think that's why we need both. And so ultimately, when I say we need both, I'm not saying we need out-of-control identity politics or racism. Those two things are bad expressions of these two ideas, but we need the good expressions of these ideas. And ultimately, what I think we need to do is we need to let go of the idea that because one side is in power and doing things badly, the solution to saving ourselves is the other side getting in power. Because I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not fond of the Trump administration. I think it's toxic. I think it's poisonous. And not because it's Republican, but because I don't think Trump is a good president. I don't think he's a good person. I think he has brought a level of immorality and nationalism and even, I'll say it, racism into the office. And it needs to be gotten rid of. But that doesn't mean conservatism needs to be gotten rid of. So the solution to Trump is not, let's get a Democrat in there really quickly. The solution to Trump is, let's get thoughtful expressions of one of these point of views into the office instead of him. It could just as easily be an out-of-control Democrat or an out-of-control liberal, and it would be different issues. He'd be creating different problems, but it's still possible to go off the rails with those things. I was a big Bernie Sanders supporter, and I was not shy about saying at times that even though I voted for Hillary over Trump, I don't think she was an especially good person. Maybe better than Trump, but that's not a high bar to get over. But she was part of an oligarchy. She was an embedded politician, and I don't think she was particularly honest. And I think that's unfortunately one of the things that happens when you're in politics too long, is you start listening to the voices of the crowd and stop listening to your inner voice that tries to keep you on the right path. And so not to say that if Hillary was elected, we'd be in the same situation with Trump. I don't think that's true. I think he's a special weird case. But I don't think the answer to him is necessarily more Democrats. I think the answer to him is being true to, I was going to say an ideology, but not an ideology. An ideology is this stuff out of control and when you ignore everything else. So instead of an ideology, let's say the way you're tuned inside. Finding someone who is conservative but is tuned properly would be an incredible alternative to Trump. And so the way we change the narrative is by getting out of our tribes by stopping this thought of us against them, but realizing Democrats and Republicans are two necessary parts of the same coin, that when we start to think about ourselves as whole, when we start to think about unity and stop having this dualistic point of view, we have the potential to really change things meaningfully. So I know a lot of people won't like this, but my solution to changing the narrative is finding the people on the other side of the aisle that you feel like are good people and that can contribute something meaningful and aren't racist or aren't immersed in identity politics, and find those people and connect with them and realize that we are all in this together against the bad guys. The other thing, there's another part of changing this narrative that kind of occurred to me this week, and it had to do with, for lack of a better word, a Christian author, not an evangelical author by any means. I kind of think evangelicalism, like identity politics or racism, is Christianity taken to a bad place. But this Christian author's name is Richard Rohr. You might have heard of him before. He's a Franciscan. And he would not be on staff at any church that you've ever been to, probably, because he thinks about Christianity and Jesus and God from a much broader perspective that would not be welcome on the staff of most churches you've been in. And I love it. I love what he says. He's a Jungian, I think, like I am. And that's just, I've not heard him say that. I just hear what he says about shadow work and about contemplation. And I think, oh, he's probably a Jungian. He's probably a Campbellian on some level, a Joseph Campbellian. And I'm really intrigued by what he does and what he talks about. And so I follow him on Twitter, and he posted a couple of articles that had some quotes in them that I want to read to you. And this is right in the wheelhouse of Bliss, the podcast. But listen to this. This first one is by Bill Plotkin. The gift you carry for others is not an attempt to save the world, but to fully belong to it. It's not possible to save the world by trying to save it. You need to find what is genuinely yours to offer the world before you can make it a better place. Discovering your unique gift to bring to your community is your greatest opportunity and challenge. The offering of gifts, your true self, is the most you can do to love and serve the world, and it is all the world needs. So like I said, that's Bill Plotkin, and that is from his book, Soulcraft, Crossing into the Mysteries of Nature and Psyche. So, and then this next quote, let's find that, is vocation does not come from willfulness, it comes from listening. That insight is hidden in the word vocation itself, which is rooted in the Latin for voice. Vocation does not mean goal I pursue. It means a calling that I hear. I must listen for the truths and the values at the heart of my own identity. And that is by Parker Palmer. And that is from his book, Let Your Life Speak, Listening to the Voice of Vocation. So those are two incredible quotes and really sum up kind of where Richard Rohr is coming from, I think, which is that this idea that you may have heard in Christianity that you need to kill yourself and die to self and not care about yourself is an oversimplification. That in reality, we need to find our true selves. And when we do that, and we live into that true self, we have the potential to change the world. And what is the quote I always give of Joseph Campbell on this show? The influence of a vitalized person vitalizes. So meaning if you be you, your best you, if you find your bliss and you follow it, the people you come into contact are going to be necessarily changed. Society is going to be necessarily changed. Culture is going to be necessarily changed. And so that's the other way that we change the narrative. We stop thinking about, oh, we could save the world. If we could get Trump out of office, we could save the world. If we could elect more Democrats, we could save the world. If we could end racism, we could save the world. Let me tell you, getting Trump out of office is a great goal. Ending racism is a great goal. We should all be concerned with those things. But the way you save the world is by finding out what you were created for and living into it. And as a result, vitalizing the people around you. And so that's the narrative that this podcast is pushing. This is the narrative that I'm pushing, that I would like to see more of in the world. People being their true selves, doing what they were created to do, answering the call, like we heard in that second quote, your vocation is a voice calling to you, answering that call and saying, I'm here to do it, let's do it. And then as a result, saving the world. So that's kind of it this week. It's a little bit shorter one. That's how we change the narrative, is by changing how we think about this world and what it needs. And so I would say what it needs is less division, more unity between parties, which sounds like an after-school special easy answer, but I think there's some truth to it that we avoid. And the other thing is being yourself, another after-school special answer. We're all in this together, and be yourself. Like, you could not think of cheesier cat hanging from a tree poster ideas that are more than that. But I think they're cliche because they're true. And so if you would like some help finding your bliss, following your bliss, that is what I do for a living. And it is so exciting sitting with people and helping them hear the call. And reach out to me. I've got a new email address, patch@patchdre.net. And reach out to me and schedule with me, and we can sit down for coffee and figure out the best way to solve this bliss problem for you. And I would love to do that. I love doing that with people. And then you and I together, when we're both following our blisses, that's two more people letting their vital influence influence the world and change it for the better. So anyway, that's it for this week. I encourage you guys to share this episode, talk about these ideas, email me at patch@patchtree.net. Not just if you want to talk about my coaching, but also if you just want to say, hey, here are my thoughts on this. Here's what I think about what you're saying. I think you're full of crap, or I think you're really on to something. Let's team up. I'm looking for people to team up with. I'm looking for people to be on my bliss team, so that we can go out there and change the narrative and ultimately change the world. So you could see the truth. And this love I have inside. Everything it seems, but for now I find it's only in my dreams, and I can change the world. I'll be the sunlight in your universe. You would think my love was really something.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.